Hello, and welcome to The Student Dose, the podcast by current and recent medical students where we talk about mental health and well-being while studying medicine. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to like and subscribe.
Okay, so today on the podcast, we're talking a bit about what makes a medical student and what we're told a medical student should be, and the ways that we fit into it, and the ways that we also can act against this stereotype. So first of all, I thought we'd speak a little bit about the things that we think make a medical student, or the things that we're told make a medical student. And for me, that would be, I was always told that a medical student had to be from like a doctor background. Did you have any family that were doctors beforehand?
For me, no, not anyone close in the family anyway. So no one that I sort of grew up with. I suppose when I came into university, when I did my first degree, I didn't think that loads of people would be from medical backgrounds, and then subsequently found out that quite a few were. And I'm not sure why I didn't expect that, but for me personally, it wasn't anything that sort of my family had too much influence on. The closest, I guess, was my granny, who was a nurse. Yeah, no one who was a doctor.
What about you, Claire? Did you have any experience with family beforehand?
No, so same as Charlie, I don't have anybody in my family who is a doctor. But saying that, I do have family who have experienced the NHS and experienced the healthcare system as both a patient and as in a work capacity. In those times when your family and your friends are the ones needing the care, you learn a lot from the doctors and the healthcare environment without really realising it. And those are the moments that are like tough. And to see those doctors and other healthcare professionals, how they support your relative or friend and how they are supportive to your family through that, as much as, again, not something that you want to go through, it was a good way for me to get an idea of the role. In addition to that, my mum does work for the NHS, but not in a clinical capacity, more admin, that side of things. I think sort of admin workers are a bit like unsung heroes in the NHS, because that is a really tough job as well. And I'd see her experience and the way she talks about her job, how much she loves her job, and all the amazing things that she does is an inspiration as well. I was quite lucky because I had quite a lot of work experience, and I have quite a lot of family friends, mainly through my mum working for the NHS for so long. I've worked at a GP practice before going to university, and that's also where my mum works. And the GPs there, the partners there, are all so supportive of me and definitely gave me good insight into what was to come. So they're not directly family, but it is important, as you guys know, throughout medical school to have a supportive network. And I would definitely include them within my supportive network because, yeah, they're really encouraging and we're always happy to answer questions and we're really supportive throughout and just happy for me when I got in.
I think when I first went to med school, I felt almost a slight sense of inferiority when all my friends had parents as doctors and got to go with their moms and dads to work. I kind of realised that I'd experienced the NHS in a completely different way by working in administration. So I think that's a really good point. Charlie, you mentioned as well that a lot of the students you met at uni had doctor backgrounds. Was it quite a challenging feeling?
For me, no. That didn't particularly present any sort of challenges. Like, any self-doubt came from maybe other places, but for me personally, I was like, well, we're both in med school now. You're just at the same level as me. You have this insight, but we're going to get way more insight into the role as a medical student. We're going to see the same amount of stuff on placement. Actually, you're going to get plenty of experience if you're going to placement every day as a medical student. You're going to get plenty of experience when you're starting work. So I'm not sure it conveys any sort of benefit having a medical background other than perhaps knowing how to navigate your career in a way that your parents did and having that sort of advice. You can get that easily from other sources and you can watch what other people are doing.
Do you know, that's an interesting thought though. I also wasn't bothered about it throughout the semester or throughout the year. I mean, actually, it was something I think I was aware of before I went in. I kind of expected there to be children of doctors on my course because I think it's quite common. But for me, it didn't bother me so much throughout the semester until summer came along. And then those folks who I'd spent the year with had automatically got maybe placements with their mum, dad, sister, brother, doing medical related things over summer. And it gave me a bit of a panic because I was like, I don't have something like that in place. That isn't something that I can just walk into. It's something that I would need to spend time and effort looking for and researching. And whilst I'm trying to get through this semester, it's not something I necessarily have like the extra capacity to do. So I think on that side of things, it probably did have an influence a little bit in that I maybe had more worries or sort of stressors around having something organized for summertime, or feeling like I had to have something organized for summertime without having the sort of time available to necessarily sort of set things up for myself. It turned out okay. Like I have found my own stuff and I'm proud of that. Actually, I'm proud that I've managed to do different things through my own means. It wasn't until I spoke to one of my friends who is already a doctor, obviously as a graduate. My friends who've graduated in medicine are currently doctors, and he was saying, actually this early on, I'm only finished first year, is there any need for me to be worrying about things like that? Okay, great, these guys are away doing 2-week placements in nice European countries or what have you with family and friends, but in terms of your actual education, do you need to be worried about that? No, you're so early on, these things will come, you will have your time, don't worry about it. And I actually can't tell you how reassuring that was to hear. I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, Charlie, because obviously you are in the doctor role at the minute and you've been there, done it.
Listen, like, first year summer was so far away from me that the only reason I remember it is because I went on really nice holidays that I can't forget. Doing additional placements or whatever during summer, you can if you want to. I think particularly after first year, that is, it's not necessary unless you really have a passion or really want to, but it's not necessary at all. What I will say is that if you see people taking advantage of opportunities that you don't personally have the means to sort of exploit, there are so many opportunities in every hospital, in every university. So if you want those opportunities, they will be there. You might have to look a bit harder, but they'll be there. But certainly after first year, yeah, there wasn't much chances of me doing too many additional placements then.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how I feel like being a medical student, you're really kind of convinced that you have to give it everything all the time, and you have to constantly seek things that will advance your future career. That's the thing I always really struggled with, because I'd watch friends, you know, be the president of a medical society or do a 2-week placement just out of their own interest. And at the end of the day, I'd either finish for the year academically, or I was just about getting by on my own placements that were kind of through the university. And I felt that I don't think I could really have these times to do all these extra things. And I thought that was such an anxiety inducing thing. I think it's this idea that we have to constantly seek things that are going to advance us that I found just really stressful. And I still do find stressful. I think it's just really important that to allow yourself to have that break away from medicine, because I think it's so much more sustainable.
I 100% agree, because I definitely fell into that trap in second semester of that year. I've actually been thinking about it a lot recently, and it was something that I was aware of as a graduate in my first degree. I am one of those people who just like being involved in things. I've done every committee from taekwondo to art and basically everything in between. So I do know that that's like a trait that I have, that I just like being involved with things. But towards the end of the year, I think I definitely was putting too much pressure on myself to be the perfect medical student or be the perfect person in terms of not only doing medical school, but doing societies, trying to keep up with like personal commitments. You're right. At some point, something's got to give. We aren't superhuman. We are at medical school to get through medical exams.
The reason you're a med student is to learn how to be a good doctor. And yes, you can gain insight from additional activities, but you also have to learn how to do work-life balance. So you can't, on one hand, spend all your holidays doing this, that, and the other to do with medicine, and also be learning how to do a good work-life balance. It can be as ambitious as you want to be, but at the same time, the only sort of good reason to do additional activities, particularly if you've had a hard semester, is if you enjoy them. So I'm sure you enjoyed your taekwondo and all that stuff, because it sounds really fun. And the reason you're able to keep on doing it is because it was really, really entertaining. It was fun. It was good. That philosophy should also be carried through to CV/work-related things. It should be for something you enjoy. Now, obviously, you might start something thinking that you'll enjoy it and turns out you didn't enjoy it. You know, that's a lesson learned in and of itself. But just doing it for the sake of being extra rather than doing it for an enjoyable, useful experience, it's the wrong mentality, because at the end of the day, as a doctor, I know for a fact that you will have to do additional stuff outside of work if you're trying to build the CV, partly because the portfolio you have to do as a doctor necessitates that. But if you're doing these things as an F1, as F2, as a medical student, and you hate them, honestly, what on earth is the point? Because then you're just building a career that you're spending so much time doing things you don't like because you think you might like it in the future, but then you're going to have to do more of it and then you're just going to be miserable and you could probably do something else, another specialty or another frame of medicine that you do enjoy. We've gone through a hard selection process to get into medical school, hard process of university. If you're not enjoying it, then there are much easier ways to spend your career that you might actually enjoy.
And life's just too short. Thinking wider than medicine, life is just too short to do things that make you unhappy. I think I totally agree, Charlie.
Yeah. I think we're using like the word enjoy a lot. And I think that brings on to like another really good point, which is I found as a medical student, you were convinced that it has to be the be all and end all and you have to enjoy every single minute of it. I have not. I still don't. There are times when it's incredibly trying. It's hard. You sometimes feel like a lot of the time feel like a very, very small fish in a very big pond. And that's completely okay. It doesn't mean that you don't want to be a doctor. It just means that you're getting used to how hard it is. And I think it's just as important to see the challenges that come with the career than it is to experience the high points. I'd have friends. Everything was amazing. Every placement was incredible. And I would have placements where I thought, I really did not like this. I think experiencing the things that make it such a challenging job, it's so important because it's the way you're going to learn everything about it. Sometimes it might not be the right placement for you. Maybe you're just, you know, having a bit of a hard time and for other reasons. And you don't have to constantly put medicine on a pedestal to make it the most important thing in your life at all times.
Do you think that some of that pressure comes from how hard it is to get in and how much time and effort you invest in getting to that point? Obviously, that was relatively recently for me, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's this whole idea of I've worked so hard to be here that the idea of quitting or taking time away from it just feels impossible. There's some amazing doctors who have social media accounts. One of the doctors I do follow, her handle is the Bipolar Medic, and she speaks a lot about having to take time out of med school and having to take time out of training because of kind of various things in her personal life. The idea that you work so hard to get in, people have this constant fear of, if I don't enjoy it, I think I just push through it anyway. Yeah, I think the pressure of med school, when you experience points of crisis where you actually think I might need to take a bit of a step away and come back in the future and try again, it just feels impossible because you feel like you shouldn't. Yeah, definitely pressure there.
That's a really interesting point, Kate. I guess I respond that doctors expect to look after other people, but the sort of framing of what you just said suggests that they shouldn't look after themselves. You know, imagine if a patient knew that you were going through an incredibly difficult time, didn't have as much sleep as you need to, emotionally you're feeling in a particularly negative way. They might think, oh, no, I want my doctor to be able to be motivated, happy, and in the best possible way. And so it doesn't make sense from a sort of patient care point of view. It doesn't make sense from a self-care point of view. And it doesn't make sense from a staffing point of view, because all that's going to happen is staff are going to burn out, not want to come to work, and then they're not going to go in the sort of career direction that people are going to want them to go into. There is definitely that sort of mentality, no, I have to keep going, I have to keep pushing through, I have to be stronger than anything in the world. The truth is that none of us are. We're all humans at the end of the day. You know, some people may well be absolutely strong, able to handle a lot of emotional things, but everybody has breaking point, and hopefully we'll be able to recognize the early warning signs that we are perhaps reaching that point where we should take a break. Actually, UOK Doc is a charity that encourages a culture of being able to look after yourselves, recognize early warning signs, doing something about it, be that talking it through, getting good advice, or indeed having a time off. There are very few things better for our mental health than just having a break. You know, think about the last time you went on holiday, like a really nice long break, and you come back feeling amazing. You know, that might not be the solution to all your problems, particularly if you know, complicated or particularly severe, but it's probably going to help. Having built-in time away is normal in a lot of careers. So I know people in other careers who their boss has just given them 6 weeks off paid leave because they're working very, very hard. That's not holiday, it's not annual leave. That's just what they get because they recognize that in order to keep this person optimally functioning and working, they're going to need to have some sort of break. If you're of the mindset that you're titanium, you can handle anything that comes towards you, fair play for being strong or whatever, but also recognize that everybody needs to look after themselves in the appropriate way. I personally think it should be related to professionalism. I think they should be integrated. Sort of part of professionalism is recognizing when things are getting too much or overwhelming, because then you can come back the next day or the next week and perform to the best of your abilities. Unfortunately, it's quite difficult to do in the NHS because you have a rota, you're rostered to work these hours, and they're understaffed anyway. In terms of the things that you can do to look after yourself, I think that definitely should be sort of integrated into professionalism a bit more. I'm not sure it is at the moment, but I also think that it is improving because I'm starting to see that sort of thing creep in a little bit more as I go on.
I am just thinking back to our interview and our introduction episode. So our first episode of listeners haven't heard, where we had the chance to talk to Dr. Daniel Geeran, and one of his lines when he said it, it just struck a chord and also has stayed with me. He said at one point, we're not supposed to suffer, we're not in this profession to suffer. And I just think that just sums it up really, doesn't it? As soon as he said it, I was like, wow, you're absolutely right. This is life. This is, we only get one shot, so why would we put ourselves through suffering when there's another way of doing things that can be much more positive and make you feel better, I guess?
Yeah, and no one wants us to either. It's not as if people expect us to suffer, and yet it's kind of, no, you need to be able to grind, you need to be able to push through, and all this stuff is part of the sort of culture and mentality of a lot of places, and no one's supposed to go into work and suffer.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, relaying this back to being a medical student as well, I think I really put my mental well-being on the back burner and really, really prevented getting the help when it would have been necessary, because I was just, and medical students can't suffer. They can't, they have to be strong and everything's fine. And I think especially when it came to kind of mental well-being, I was so terrified that admitting I needed help would, you know, cause like a fitness to practice issue. I was terrified uni would go, you can't be a doctor if you have XYZ, because doctors don't have this. And I was terrified, especially when it came to starting any sort of medication or starting therapy. I was terrified that it meant that I wasn't a good doctor because I needed to seek help and I couldn't just go through it, be a bit of a, you know, a strong brick wall who could take anything. I think that's what prevents a lot of medical students from seeking out help and from, you know, going to see their GPs, going to speak to the uni, is this fear of, I can't admit that I'm struggling because doctors don't struggle, because I have to help people, I shouldn't be the one that's being helped. That's really difficult. And I know something that I experienced firsthand. And I'm really glad that I kind of had the courage to think, actually, I think it's not going to make me a worse doctor. I think it's just something I've got to experience and get through. And it'll make me a better doctor if I can recognise this in myself, because I can recognise it in other people.
Yeah, that's amazing of you to have shared, Kate. I'm glad you're able to sort of get out of that mindset. It's really positive. And as you're saying that, I just thought, so what? As a doctor, you can't have diabetes or a leg fracture because, oh, like, I can't be cared for because I'm the one that's doing the caring. No, that's ridiculous. Like, what are you talking about? No one's going to say that. So why should it be any different for mental health?
So just thinking back then, we've chatted a bit about one of the preconceptions that we had before becoming medical students, and that we talked about having doctors who are relatives. What other preconceptions did you have of what was a must to be a medical student before beginning the course?
So I came in a bit different because I did biomedical science before medicine. As a result, I was basically in the medical school amongst medical students all the time. And I saw that they were the same as all of the rest of the students. They were just my mates. And yeah, some of them were incredibly intelligent. In fact, no, all of them were incredibly intelligent. And all of them were incredibly hardworking. And all of them were good communicators. And they appeared at least to be quite caring people. I think for me, having that experience where I could see actually who they were, I could integrate myself with them, sort of broke down that barrier of expecting them to be all singing, all dancing people that had all of their life together all of the time, because it's just not true. And as a result, I went into med school being like, okay, well, they were all smart people, hardworking people, professional when it came to their studies, perhaps not all the time when it came to everything else, as all students are, by the way, and caring and empathetic and compassionate. I thought, okay, well, I can be all those things. I got admitted to med school because I showed those qualities or the potential to develop those qualities. So why should I not think I could be just as good as they were? That's kind of a different experience to going in not knowing what medical students are like, because I had that sort of university experience beforehand.
I undermined a lot of the things that make me a good medical student because I was so convinced it had to be about the academic side of it. And I'm the same. I came on a bit of a wonky pathway because I did a foundation year because I didn't have science A levels. And I kind of met all these med students who had had degrees or millions of A stars in millions of science subjects. And I thought, oh my God, I am not at the same academic level as these people. And then I think because of that, I completely overlooked all the things that also made me a good med student that weren't particularly academic, like being, you know, being kind and being able to talk to patients. And it's this idea that you have to be this absolute brain box who passes every exam and flies through it. And I still struggle with exams, and I have had many friends who've had to retake. And I know there's still a point in the future which I might have to retake exams, and that's absolutely okay, because it's just not about just the academics. Obviously, it's important. It's a very important foundation, and it allows you to proceed and progress through med school. But there's so many different things that make you a good doctor that is just not being the top of your class in biology A-level. That's just not what being a doctor is. And I think it's this perception of, oh, I'm good at science in school, I could be a doctor. But I'm like, no, it's so much more than that. It's so much more humanitarian than I think people allow themselves to think.
I came in as a graduate, and during my first degree, a lot of my friends were medical students. So kind of similar to what Charlie was saying, I had seen them before, but I think I still had that, or put that pressure on myself to feel like I had to be a specific type of person to be there, if that makes sense. I think almost for me, even though I knew that my medical student friends hadn't had things totally together all of the time, and some of them had resets and stuff like that, I knew that, but I don't know whether for me being a graduate made me feel like I should already know, if that sort of makes sense. Now, that might be because of the gap that I took, which you didn't. I think you went straight between degrees, so I've had quite a gap, so that might be the difference there. But I certainly kind of felt the pressure that because I was a graduate and a bit older, I should be even more closer to that final copy, which in hindsight now is crazy because, you know, I'm only 27, there's many years to come. And I know by this point that as a person, you change and develop so much as you experience life and as things go on. I can accept this, that in other parts of life, our differences are strengths in a lot of situations. Considering I can acknowledge that, it feels unusual that I came into medical school not able to acknowledge that from a medical student perspective.
Yeah, I kind of felt that kind of pressure as well, because there was definitely a narrative that all the graduate students know everything already. That's what people would always say in years above me when the graduate students joined in the non-graduate entry students. I had so many times said to me, oh, you guys have all your ducks in a row. It's just being that bit older and a little bit more mature, leading you to also know how you study a bit more. And also having gone through a bit of life, which allows you to then handle the university a little bit more in a different way to a school leaver student. But that doesn't mean that the capabilities of graduates is any different to non-graduates in any sort of inherent way. loads of my mates who I met in medical school were school leave entry students, and I wasn't sort of seen in a particularly different way. The only difference is that there were loads of sort of, oh, you're a grandpa jokes made at me, which were funny at the beginning, became less funny towards the end. Did you feel, either of you, that you had a sense of imposter syndrome at all?
Yeah, definitely. All the time, and unfortunately still do. I can remember very specifically the first time I ever rang my mum at the start of med school and went, this was a really silly idea for me. The idea that I'd come from a pretty rubbish comprehensive school and I didn't have the right A-levels and I'd kind of scraped my way there on a foundation year, and I felt ridiculous. I was someone who thought they'd go and study drama and then thought, probably not. And I felt really awful because of that and convinced that I wasn't doing the right thing. And I think I still feel imposter syndrome in many other ways in med school. Some people are naturally much better at the sort of style of exam. And obviously there's the sort of ranking system which comes in med school, which can be quite cruel. But I remember being told that at the end of the day, if you pass with the lowest mark on every exam, then you're still going to be a doctor and that's okay. So just don't worry about it. And also I think, I guess I've said before, imposter syndrome in the sense that I had friends who were much more naturally good at, you know, certain skills that I wasn't, all these things that I thought I'd be naturally really good at, but I wasn't. I think just being able to just put your hands up and go, actually, I need a bit more support with this is really important, and we'll make you a better doctor because you're able to recognise your kind of weaknesses. And we're always told that we need to recognise our strengths, but also recognising things that you also struggle with is so important. We're all people just doing a degree and it's really difficult, and there shouldn't be this kind of idolised view of medical students at all.
I had a fantastic lecturer in my first semester, and he was one of the first people to speak to us in medical school. And he said that the fact that we've made it in means that we deserve to be there. And also that as long as we pass the exams, no matter like sort of what level, as long as you're passing, you are good enough to be a doctor, and don't let things like DESA rankings and things put you off, because, you know, you can bring different strengths in other areas and medical school is hard. So if you're passing, you are good enough to be a doctor. And I think that was a really important thing to hear in your first few weeks of medical school, and it certainly stayed with me as well. Just for listeners who maybe don't have an idea what imposter syndrome is, how would you define it?
For me, imposter syndrome would be, despite you having got to a place that you've really worked hard to get to, you've achieved something that's really, really good, you've got something that you've worked really hard for, you feel that, no, there's no way I should be here. I don't deserve this. I'm not the right person for this. You think someone's going to give you that pat on the shoulder and be like, come on, mate, you know, party's over. Get back to what you're doing before, because this ain't for you, mate. And that's despite you having actually achieved it or actually done the thing that you're worked so hard to do. And so therefore you feel like you're pretending to be like all the people around you or the people maybe you've looked up to. And because you've put them on a pedestal, there's no way you think you could be like them or as good as them or even better than them. Truth is that because you've got there, you are good enough and you should have the confidence to feel that you should be there.
I'm wondering if both of your experiences, having done so much more medical school and obviously for yourself, Charlie, starting work as a doctor, I'm wondering how the things that you preconceived as what a medical student should be, how that changed for you throughout your journey so far.
I think the main thing for me was I was convinced at starting med school that I had to know the answer to every question all the time. I think going through med school, I allow myself a lot more time away from it than I ever have done before. Even starting kind of third year, I remember my first placement, I think I was in for about 15 hours one day. I thought, I don't need to do that. I think it was a very interesting kind of day, but you know, you're allowed to take time away from it, and you are allowed to not make it your entire life. It's an amazing thing that you've got in, but you are more than that. You're not just a medical student. So I think going through med school, I've seen the kind of the change of seeing what I was like in first year, where I was quite obsessive that everything had to be, you know, relational to it. And now I think, oh, you know, I'm a person doing a medical degree. I'm very excited to be a doctor, but I also understand that I don't want to kind of go into my life as a doctor knowing full well that that's the only kind of defining characteristic about me. And I want to do all these other things that make me Kate that aren't being a doctor. Just realizing that it didn't have to be the complete center of my life all the time.
Look, like none of us are the same. So trying to think that there should be a mold is in itself quite silly because we're all different people. Yeah, there has to be a few essential characteristics, but realistically, some of those things look different in different people and come across in different ways, particularly hard work, because some people just work differently and some people absorb information in different ways and some people have different ambitions as well. In no aspect of life do we expect to sacrifice our individualism for the sake of fitting into a particular class or degree or job or anything else. And in all honesty, I'm sure you've met on placement doctors who are completely different to each other. They work in different ways. Consultants and GPs, because they're senior and they know what they're doing and they've done all the qualifications and they've reached the top, they have a degree of autonomy in the way they work. So some will like to come in very early in the morning to get things sorted out. Some are a bit more relaxed and prefer to come in a bit later or perhaps at the time exactly on the dot. There's no sort of one size fits all. There's never really an expectation in life for that and it to be sort of effective. And so for me, you can't expect to be just like everybody else because that's just not natural. It's not human and it's not right.
Thinking just about our conversation so far and our conversation throughout this podcast series, we've all talked a lot about all the different things that make us up, the three of us, and just as a sort of sample, are three very different people. And that's not to say that we're all not going to be doctors and sort of make it in a medical career. So yeah, how do you hold on to that unique you throughout?
It's very easy for work to consume everything because you spend so much time doing it. I've found actively trying to do things you enjoy and not work is a way to maintain who you are. So for me, I love playing music and I love taking part in societies that put on music and shows. In university, I did loads of that. And maybe even the best times of university was when I was doing that. It allowed me to make so many of my friends. One of the other things I really like is football. And it was much easier for me to just have a group of mates. We all play football, try and do it once or twice a week. And then that allows me to kind of, you know, vent out some of the stresses, allows me to do exercise, allows me to be with like-minded people. We all have a good time. So those are the main ways in which I sort of kept up with being who I am.
I'm the same as Charlie, really, just kind of making sure that you schedule time in for you, even if that's time in, just sit in bed and read a book, scheduling the things that you really enjoy doing. You know, just allowing yourself time in the day to really sit there and explore all the things that you're proud of yourself for that aren't necessarily the typical academic or kind of clinical skills. Allowing yourself to just explore all these things that make you feel the most true version of yourself. It will all help towards being a medical student. Even if it kind of boosts your confidence or it improves your mental well-being, it's all beneficial.
I'll just add to that, that I think for me, a real important thing is just acknowledging when I'm maybe finding something a bit more difficult, just because that's who I am as a person. So for example, there's quite tight rules and regulations for us in terms of what we're allowed to wear to clinical skills. And I find that like surprisingly difficult to start with. I just felt like I was losing my sense of self because I had to dress a certain way to come across a certain way. And I think just by acknowledging that and then within the restrictions, spending some time thinking, how can I dress that is still me but meets the codes, actually really helped. There are rules, there are regulations, and they are there for a reason. And medical students are taught in a certain way and have to behave in a certain way for a reason. But that's not to say that there's not some flexibility in there and there's not sort of opportunity to bring yourself to that. I think as well, actually, it's probably important to have some influences outside of medicine. And like Charlie was saying, I also enjoy doing music-related activities and I make time every week to meet with a group of other sort of music like-minded individuals, most of whom aren't even students anymore. And they just have a totally different perspective on life. None of them are medics. None of them are students. They've all got very, very different backgrounds and careers and paths. And I think that's really helpful. in terms of not losing perspective and how to go about life, not losing yourself and your special traits, those little things that make you you along the way?
Yeah, definitely. Like spending time with friends who aren't medics is also really important, because you put it perfectly, I can't put it better myself. It's just a different perspective, a different outlook. They talk about different things. They have different banter. It's a really different experience. And you know, Claire, you've come from a background of quite an artistic background, and I'm sure you can probably share that side of yourself maybe much easier with those sorts of people. Take nothing away from the people you spend time with during your degree or whatever. It's nothing to do with that, but it's more expressing yourself in a different way. And sometimes you just need those people to bring that sort of side of you out. And that's really good. And a lesson to us all, because it's so easy to just have all of our friends in medicine. I've fallen guilty of it. I'm sure you guys have fallen guilty of it. And I'm sure people listening have fallen guilty of it. It can become quite unilateral in a way, perhaps lose some of the facets of yourself without those different perspectives.
Yeah, 100% agree, Charlie. It's been great to chat with you all today. I've certainly learned a lot, and hopefully our listeners have too.
Just always a reminder to go and seek help where you need to.
Definitely. That's kind of the point of this charity as well. So obviously the charity is called UOK Doc, but medical students, 100% welcome. Partly why we're starting this podcast, so that students kind of feel integrated into the charity as best possible. So yeah, 100% agree.
So today we've spoken a bit about what makes medical students and the ways that we perceive a medical student should be and should act, and the ways that we should also kind of act against this and break this mold. I hope this has kind of encouraged you and reminded you that you don't have to fit any sort of mold to be a medical student, and to continue exploring your individuality where you can do.
Joining us on this episode of The Student Dose. If you'd like to hear more, remember to like and subscribe. You can also find regular updates on the UOK Doc social media channels. Don't forget to check out the show notes as well.